You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right. Well, Father, I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for the series. And I thank you for all your kids that have been tuning in, Father. I thank you that we are hungry for the truth, Father. We are hungry to experience the fullness of Jesus in us, through us, and as us, Father. And we are ready. We are ready to leave the world system behind and govern as sons, Father, and have no other gods before you, Father. We just declare, Father, that money is not our God, that money is not what we worship or who we serve, Father, but we serve Jesus. We exalt Jesus. We belong to Jesus. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that is where we live and move and have our being, inside of you. And the kingdom is inside of us. So, Father, thank you that we are fully resourced. Thank you that we have all that we need, plus more, Father, because you've given us yourself. And that is true riches, Father. Thank you that we possess the true riches of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, everything else that heaven contains belongs to us too. We are joint heirs with him of the kingdom. And so, Father, as we step into this final episode, I just yield my body as a living sacrifice. I yield my mind and my thoughts, Father. There's a lot of directions that we could go in this episode, but I'm just trusting you to land the plane how you would like to land it, and that everyone has ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to them today through this broadcast. I thank you that we are being transfigured every single day, that the glory of Jesus is being revealed in us and to us, and Father as us. And so I just trust, Father, that this is going to land exactly where people need it to land in their lives, in their circumstances, Father, and in their journey into manifesting the fullness of Jesus as them. And so I bless it and I declare it so in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, awesome, you guys. I'm back and we are wrapping up episode 4 in Kingdom Economics today. And we've covered a lot of ground in this series so far. And I've already had some really great feedback that this has been some of the clearest teaching that they've ever heard on this topic, which frankly surprises me a little bit. But I'm happy. I'm happy that this is landing for you guys and that you are getting something out of it. And so as we wrap this thing up today, I want to kind of just remind you of what we've been doing primarily in the last 3 episodes. We've been comparing and contrasting the world system with the kingdom of God, and I have gone through a ton of attributes of both the world system and the kingdom. And we started out with the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:12, and I am going to just read that again briefly this morning. It says this, it says, "For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us." You know, I think that is such a powerful scripture. That's the Passion Translation of 1 Corinthians 2:12. But it just says it right out of the gate, right? That we were not given the spirit of this world system. All right. So the world system is not the spirit that we operate in at all. No, we've been given God's spirit. And then I love the reason that it lays out here of why we have God's spirit. It's so that we can understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. So this isn't just about getting a revelation of the gospel or getting a revelation of the kingdom of heaven. This is also about experiencing it, right? And grace has already lavished upon us everything that heaven contains. Let's just go over to that scripture. So you just recognize what the spirit of God is saying, that he wants you to understand and experience. Okay, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm all over the place in my Bible this morning, so let me go here. Ephesians chapter 1 in the Passion Translation. I'm going to stick in that one. It says this in verse 3. It says, "Every spiritual blessing," and by spiritual blessing, that just means unseen. It's not material. "Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped in Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. So now, if we put that into the context of 1 Corinthians 2:12, what that verse is saying is that we receive the Holy Spirit so that we can understand, right, all that has already been lavished upon us as a love gift. But not just understand that all that heaven contains has already been lavished upon us, but that we would experience all that grace has lavished upon us. So the gospel is not just meant to be a revelation, you guys. It's meant to be a manifestation. And in the kingdom of God, you are a joint heir with Jesus. You are the bride of the King of Kings. You are the offspring of royalty. You are a royal heir. And Jesus is the lawful owner of all things. I was reading a great, beautiful scripture this morning. I think I'm just, you know, as I was preparing, I've got Elevate this week and some other things. But man, it's a powerful scripture. It's a Romans 11, verse 36. But I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic Version because, man, when I read that this morning, it was so powerful. Listen to this. It says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. For all things originate with him, come from him, all things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and end in him. To him be glory forever. Amen. All right. If you want to talk about a scripture that glorifies who Jesus Christ is, boy, this scripture sure does it. And this is the person that you are married to. This is your husband. Okay. I know, you know, if you're a male, I get it. But the point is we're all the bride of Christ, just like we're all the body of Christ. And we have been joined to him, made one with him through the work of the cross, through the work of the resurrection. And so, you know, as we finalize this series today, you know, it is of utmost importance that you step into the place where you are no longer a slave to the world system, but an heir of God, an heir of the kingdom. This is an inheritance. It's not something that you earn. It's something that you carry inside of you. You carry a person, Jesus Christ, inside of you. And wherever you are, the kingdom of God is. And the kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power, right? It's not meat or drink, right? But it's righteousness, peace, and holy, and joy, sorry, in the Holy Ghost. And so you are carrying around power. You are carrying around righteousness, peace, and joy in your very being simply because you're one with Jesus. And so it's time to come out of the slave orphan mindsets that have chained us to the world system and step into the glorious freedom of sonship and the glorious freedom of joint heirship. I guess that's a word, of being a joint heir with Jesus, who has already been given anything and everything that heaven contains, right? So I'm not going to go back completely through this compare and contrast of the world system and the kingdom today, because I've spent 3 episodes already doing that. And if you haven't heard those, I really encourage you to go back and do that. But I am gonna talk a little bit about, or I am gonna wrap it up today on really what's the real issue here. Because in Matthew 6, Jesus says something really profound. He says this in verse 24, and I'm still in the Amplified Classic here. It says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And then in the Amplified Version, it says, "deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in." And so I really want to break it down today into this simple idea, right? That we will either serve money, trust in money, and in effect, worship money, all right? Or money will serve us, and we will worship, trust, and serve God with it, okay? And so this boils down at its core issue is really a trust issue and a source issue. And I think that this is kind of a sobering thought, because I know that we all have viewed money as a source of security, as a source of stability, as a source of peace even, because of the world system, because we live in a world that requires money in order to secure the basic necessities of life, right? You need money in order to have a place to live. You need money in order to eat food, right? You need money in order to buy clothes. And so, you know, not having money just by default raises up the fear of not having our basic needs met. And so by default, money starts to potentially become in our psyche. And I want to say it does become in our psyche, because this is how we're raised in the world system, is that it starts to become a substitute for peace. It becomes a substitute for self-worth. It becomes a substitute for security and stability. It becomes a source of these things in our lives. We begin to look at our net worth as our self-worth, right? We look at our balance sheet to determine how worthy we are, or how valuable we are, or how successful we are. And so it becomes a measuring stick of our identity, right? And so it just, you know, very sneakily just hops into that role of being God in our lives. And really what detoxing from the world system looks like, and what, you know, deconstructing the world system and our relationship with money looks like, is it looks like coming face to face with the reality that we have trusted in uncertain riches, that we have looked to mammon to provide what God has already provided, right? God, Jesus Christ, is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is our source of peace. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the stable foundation that our lives are built upon. Jesus is our protector. Jesus is our security. And Jesus is our source of provision. Jesus is King of Kings and the lawful owner of all things. And so it's this exchange, if you will, between trusting in mammon, trusting in money to provide, frankly, what money cannot provide, because money doesn't have the capability to define you. Money doesn't have the capability to provide security for you, safety for you. It can pay your mortgage. Yeah, it can and pay your electricity bill. But guess what? That is a never-ending demand. Right? You got to have to always serve it. You're going to have more. You're going to always have to rely on it. So it's a never ending slave-based system that the world trains us to be under, but it cannot define your worth. The blood of Jesus defines your worth. The blood of Jesus has claimed you as valuable. You are worth the very blood of God. That is how valuable you are. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of Jesus is what redeemed all of creation. The blood of Jesus, you've been bought with a preciousness that far outweighs gold and silver and anything that mammon could provide, right? The very body of Jesus, the very being of Jesus was offered in exchange for you. And this divine exchange, right? He became sin. He became the curse. He became poverty so that we would be blessed, so that we would be righteous, so that we would be rich. And we are rich with true riches, which is the source of wealth, right? Well, so you haven't just been given wealth. You've been given the very source of wealth. And this is who you are in your being. Jesus Christ is the definition of who you are. As he is, so are you in this world. And so your net worth is Jesus Christ. Your net worth is God himself. And so nothing in all of creation can define you. Not a number on a balance sheet, not a number on a bank statement. There is not a number that can define your worth, all right? That cannot be defined by numbers. It can only be defined by God himself. And he has defined you in Christ. Christ is the definition of your essence. It is the definition of who you are at the core of your being. That's why I can say that Jesus Christ is your net worth, right? And so really unhooking from the world system and unhooking from that slavery orphan mindset system that gets you to perform for wealth, that condemns you when you are in debt, and then, you know, declares you good and blessed when you are debt free, or you have a retirement plan, or you've got some measurement in numbers that is reached that says you're successful. Like, you are getting unhooked from that entire system, that entire system of worth, that entire system of exchange, that entire system of earning something to be something. And it is also detaching you from the ability for money to be your source of security and your source of peace, right? And so this is why, you know, when, you know, God forbid you're in a place where you don't have enough to pay your monthly bills, or you're in a place where you receive an unexpected bill, or you're in a situation where you don't know how you're going to pay anything, right? It's why that fear and that anxiety and all of that comes up, because it's associated in our nervous system and in our neural pathways with panic and fear, because there's a perceived lack of safety. There's a perceived lack of security, because money by default has been that for us. And so fear starts to drive us to earn more, to work hard, to hustle, to get three jobs or whatever it is so that we can pay our bills. And in Matthew chapter 6, there's an entirely new God and an entirely new way of living that is introduced by Jesus. He's saying, don't be anxious about your life. Don't worry about how your bills are going to get paid. Don't worry about your retirement plan. Don't worry about how your needs are going to get met, right? He says this, I'm still in the Amplified Classic. He says, therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat and what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? So he's comparing mammon and the things that it provides to true riches, which is what? Life and a physical body, right? I mean, he's saying here, I am the creator of life, and I am the creator even of your body. And don't be anxious about the things that I've given you. I've given you your body, and I've given you life. Don't be anxious about how those are going to be sustained. I am the sustainer of your body. I am the sustainer of your life. All things were created through me. All things are consummated in me. And so therefore, you can rest. You can rest because the sustainer of all things, the sustainer of your life, the sustainer of your body is your provider. Your provider is the sustainer, the creator, the source of all things. And so we don't have to be anxious, because money is not our source. Money did not create your life. Money did not create your body. All right? It is not your origin. It is not your beginning. And it is not your end. Jesus Christ is your beginning and your end. And so you can rest in the peace of the one who created you and who sustains you, Jesus Christ. Okay? And it says here, look at the birds, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, which, by the way, God created them and sustains them as well. God is the originator of their life and the sustainer of their life. And he uses the birds as an example. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. He says, are you not worth much more than they? All right. So he's saying even the birds are sustained, and they don't have a job. Okay. They don't have any way to be taken care of except God has to provide for them. And so he's just comparing and contrasting that God is the source of life and the sustainer of life. And then he says, verse 27, he says, "And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure, cubit, to his stature or to the span of life?" Basically, he's saying worry is worthless. Worry is worthless because it doesn't manifest or transfigure or change or create anything. Okay, worry does not cause you to grow taller, right? It doesn't cause growth. It doesn't cause the body to mature and come into adulthood. And it does not add a day to your life, right? There's no life in worry. Okay, it doesn't extend your life because it doesn't sustain life. Fear doesn't have that capacity. In verse 27, it says, in verse 28, it says, "And why should you be anxious about clothes?" And then he talks about the flowers. He says, "Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin." Okay, so there he's using a parable here. He's saying, look at how flowers grow, right? They start with a seed. They're planted into the soil. It looks like they die, but then new life springs forth. It is a picture of death and life and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. It's saying learn from the burial and the resurrection of Jesus the truth of resurrection life, that you are a new creation. You have been co-crucified with Christ, and now you have been raised as a new creation. And this new creation is sustained by the roots that are rooted and grounded in God and God's love and God's provision. The flower has an unseen source of life, and it comes from the soil. It comes from the rain. It comes just automatically through what it is planted in and what is provided to the earth. And you are planted in Christ. You have been placed into Jesus Christ. And he is the nourishment and the provision. The Holy Spirit is what nourishes you and provides for you and causes you to grow. And so God's using nature as a picture and a parable of who your source is, who's the source of your life, and that even plants and trees and flowers are representations of the gospel and of the kingdom, right? The kingdom is like a seed that is planted, and it is planted inside of you, which is the earth. You have been made from dirt, and you are the soil that the kingdom of God has been planted inside of. Jesus Christ himself has been planted inside of you. And then it says, verse 31, it says, "Therefore, don't be worried. Don't be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to have to drink? What are we going to have to wear?" And it says in 32, it says, "For the Gentiles, the heathen," meaning those that don't know the gospel, those that have not been awakened to the truth. It says they wish and crave and diligently seek after all of these things. They are slaves to the world system, you guys. But it says, but your heavenly Father knows well that you need all of these things. Like, the Father knows that the birds need worms. The Father knows that the birds need seeds or whatever it is they're eating out there all the time, right? God knows that. And God has created a system that automatically provides for them. And just like the birds, the kingdom is what provides for you all the time. Without toil, without striving, it is just the atmosphere. It's the world that you live in. You live in the kingdom. He said, so don't be like those that are looking to the material realm and to the world system and toiling and striving and being a slave to money. Don't be like them. The Father and the kingdom already have provided everything that you need. It's already been given to you. And it says that. So seek, verse 33, seek, aim, strive after first his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And all these things taken together will be given to you besides. So, you know, that's not the, I don't know. I don't particularly love that translation of Matthew 6:33. Let's look at a different one. it says this in the Passion Translation. It says, I'm sorry, Matthew 6, 33. Yeah. So it says, so above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Verse 34, it says, refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. All right, so let's talk about this practically. So, okay, Shalise, I'm hearing you. You're telling me not to worry. You're telling me to not let money be the, or mammon be what defines me. You're telling me to not let money be my source of peace, to not let money be my source of stability, my source of identity, my source of safety. But you're not telling me how to not do that either. Okay. You're telling me to trust in God, who's the sustainer, the creator of life. You're telling me everything that heaven has already, that heaven contains has already been lavished on me, but I need to know practically how I walk through life without making money my source. All right. And so the key to this, I really believe, is in Matthew 34. It says, refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Now, I'm going to go over to the Message translation of that scripture because it's such a powerful scripture, because this is really about what we are seeking. And seeking can sound like a striving word, but really, I mean, it means to me what it's really talking about here. It's really about what we are giving our attention to. All right. Are we giving our attention to the world? Are we giving our attention to the circumstances? Are we giving our attention to worry and anxiety? Or like it says in here in Matthew 6, 34, it says this, it says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So basically, let me just kind of break this down for you. What this is saying is live in the present moment. Okay, live right here, right now. Okay, come back to the present moment, because the present moment is the only moment that you can surrender in. The present moment is the only moment that you can abide in Christ. You can't abide in Christ yesterday, and you can't abide in Christ 5 minutes from now. You can only abide. You can only have this position of surrender in this exact moment. And really what it's saying is stay in communion with me. What am I doing? What am I saying? What am I speaking? We're in union here, beloved. So let's walk through life every moment of every day together as one in communion, with you secure in me, with you secure in who I am and who you are in me. All right. So there is a cadence to our walk with God that is focused on the present moment. And if you are really honest, the reason why we worry, right, is because we're in the past, or we're in the future. We are worried about something that's going to happen tomorrow, or we are worried about something that has happened in the past that's going to affect tomorrow, but we are not in the present moment. Worry must occur because your mind has come out of the present moment. And you've come out of giving your attention to what God is actually doing, right? Jesus lived this way. If we go, you know, to kind of it's always my go-to scripture, but John 5:30 in the Voice translation, right? Jesus says this, he says, I have not ever, nor will in the future, act on my own. I listen to the directions of the one who has sent me, and I act on these divine instructions. I'm paraphrasing and I don't feel like looking it up right now. He says, and my judgment is just and never self-serving. I'm committed to pursuing God's agenda and not my own. And this commitment to pursuing God's agenda and not his own, you guys, is Jesus seeking the kingdom, right? It is his position of listening. It is his position of abiding in union with the Father and simply surrendering himself to be God's hands and feet and words in every single moment of his life, his death, all of it, right? It was this expression of union, walking in time, walking in the world system. And so that intimacy with God is where we are living. It's where we are abiding. And we just are simply following the instructions of the one that sent us, that one that sent us into the world. So, you know, that is why Jesus over and over again, when he would multiply the bread for the multitudes, or he would tell the disciples to let down their nets to catch a fish, right? He was getting the strategy from the Father, and he was following the Father's instructions, and he was, you know, blessing the bread because that's what the Father told him to do. That's what Father was doing. He told him to let down their nets because they had toiled all night and caught nothing. And so Jesus was just releasing kingdom provision through his intimacy with God. Another place that I like to go to that really exemplifies this is Matthew 11, 27 and 28 in the Message translation. And here's what Jesus says. He's describing the way that he lived. And the way that Jesus lived was in union with the Father. The Father and him, he said, are one. And he said, of my own self, I can do nothing. But as I hear, I judge. He says, these words are not my own. These words are the Father's words. So Jesus was living in union with the Father, doing the Father's will on earth as it was in heaven, real time, through communion, through listening, through active partnership and cohabitation with the Father. So it says this in Matthew 11, 27 in the Message translation. It says, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. And so he begins to describe the way that he lived, the way that he operated. He says, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. It says here, no one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But here Jesus says, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. And so Jesus very explicitly here says, this is the way I live. Okay, the Father has given me things to do and say. And those are the things that I'm doing and saying. And he says, it's this unique, intimate relationship. I'm known fully by the Father, and the Father has fully revealed himself to me. And I'm living in complete dependence upon God moment by moment. I'm giving my entire attention to what God is doing right this moment. I'm not focused on tomorrow. I am here in the present moment, expressing the Father's will through my body, through my words, through my actions. I'm a living sacrifice for the Father each and every moment. And as I follow his instructions, well, the kingdom is manifesting. Devils are getting cast out, the sick are being healed, and provision is miraculously appearing. Okay, I'm speaking to a fig tree and it's withering up at the root within 24 hours. I am teaching my disciples how to live as sons of God and dominate the natural realm. I'm walking on water and I'm inviting Peter out of the boat to walk on the water out here with me. I am teaching them to trust in God and not in uncertain riches. I'm sending them out two by two and telling them not to take anything with them because God is going to provide everything that is needed for them to do what God is telling them to do. And so there's this cadence, there's this relationship, there's this intimacy, there's this union that we are to live in where we are fully dependent upon God, we are fully secure in God, and we are following him moment by moment as we fulfill the things that God wants to accomplish through us. Jesus said, the Father in me is the one doing the work. And so Jesus himself was abiding in the Father. And we are in the same way abiding in the Son who is in the Father. And so this is an intimate sonship relationship that we are co-ruling and co-governing the earth the earth through union with God. We are governors of money because money serves Jesus. Money recognizes Jesus as Lord over it. And so we are simply walking out in time what the Father wants to accomplish in time. And these are the eternal plans, the eternal blueprints, the eternal destinies of each of us that God is accomplishing through us. He desires to express himself as us as we walk through time. And so this is a completely different way of living. This is a completely different way of seeing. And it's a completely different way of relating to everything, right? We are now governors of creation through our union with God rather than being governed by creation. We are governors of money through our union with God rather than being governed by money, right? And the way that God manifests money and wealth and anything else that is needed or belongs to us in Christ is done through union. The union itself is the connection that produces the fruit. Right? We are the branch, Jesus is the vine, and the fruit flows through us. The fruit, the nourishment flows through us to produce the fruit. The kingdom of God flows through us to produce miracles. The kingdom of God flows through us to produce businesses, to produce streams of income, to produce wealth, right? So the wealth is flowing through us from heaven into the natural realm. And that will flow through words, that will flow through obedience, that will flow through wisdom, that will flow through divinely architected systems and structures as you step into ownership of businesses or whatever the vision that God has for your life. And it will be manifested supernaturally in union with the Father. The wisdom of God will flow through you. And the wisdom is more precious than riches and gold. It produces those things. Wealth and riches are in your house because of your union with God. And so this is a divine strategy being executed. This is in union with God. This is all a unique, intimate operation that is being played out in your life as you walk through life in union with God. And so it's unhooking from the fear and the survival and the deceitfulness of riches as being able to be a source for you. It is not a source for you. God is the source of it for you. And so it's just a completely different way of relating to everything, really, right? This is you sitting in heavenly places, being a governor over the world, a governor over creation, rather than being a slave in the world and a slave to creation. So, beloved, we are all in this beautiful exodus of coming out of orphanhood and slavery into mature sonship that looks like abiding in Christ and being fully embodied by Jesus Christ himself, so that Jesus is the expression of us through us. You know, I guess I'll wrap it up with the scripture I've been on all year, which is Romans 12, verse 1 in the Mirror Translation. And I'll just read it again, but here's what it says. It says, Romans 12, 1. Okay. It says, live consistent with who you really are. Let me stop here. What it's saying is live consistently in Christ. Live consistently in union with God. Live consistent, not as who you really are apart from Christ, as though there is a you that exists apart from Christ. No, live consistent in who Jesus you really are. Live in him. It says, inspired by the love and kindness of God. God is going to be the motivator. God is going to be the one that motivates you. God's going to be the inspiration And God is loving kindness. So the loving kindness, which is God, is what's going to motivate you, what's going to move you as you abide and stay in union with Jesus. And it says, my brothers, the most practical expression of worship is to make your bodies available to him as a living sacrifice. This pleases him much more than any religious routine. So this is just the process of yielding in surrender to union to God. It is just saying, here's my body, here's my time, here's my calendar, here's my relationships, here's my nervous system, here's my mind, here's my imagination, here's my hands, here's my feet, here's my being. You can possess it all because you already own it all. You already have secured it all. You are the creator of all. You sustain all. And I'm just saying, here, take me. Take me and anything that could remotely be attached or considered mine. I just give this all to you to be a living expression of Jesus. And you can live your life through me, Jesus. And you can be a blessing to the planet through me, Jesus. And I trust you to provide the fruit. I trust you to provide every single thing that is needed for you to express yourself how you want to express yourself through me. I am a channel of kingdom provision for others. I'm a channel of goodness for others. I'm a channel of provision because you are the source, and I am allowing the fruit of the kingdom to flow through me as a living branch, as a living sacrifice, as a holy vessel that you have purchased with your blood, and you can possess me fully to use me fully. And I trust you to provide and be the source, not only for everything that I need, but to be the provision that others need through me. You know, there's a great scripture in Proverbs that says, he that waters shall be watered, meaning that you can't be a channel of provision without provision. You can't be a channel to use money as a servant without money to serve, right? And when I say to serve the kingdom, to serve the king, to serve the vision, to serve others, to solve problems, to be a blessing to others. You get watered as you water. You get wet with the Holy Ghost and with the kingdom and with provision and with everything that's needed because you're a channel for it. You're not hoarding it. You're not fearfully grabbing onto it. No, it's flowing through you. You are a conduit of kingdom wealth. You are a conduit of whatever is needed. Whether that's healing, whether that's wisdom, whatever is needed. And you are building the kingdom because Jesus builds his church. Jesus manifests the new creation. Holy Spirit is the manifester. And the manifester is flowing through you. Not because you imagined everything correctly. Not because you used a Joe Dispenza meditation and you got your vibration just perfectly. No, you've just yielded your body as a living sacrifice. And guess what? Jesus is now vibrating through you. Your words are not your own. You're speaking the words of God. Your imaginations are not your own. They're the imaginations and the visions of the Holy Spirit. Your frequency is not your own because you are vibrating at the frequency of resurrection life. And creation begins to awaken. Creation recognizes that you are a son, and things begin to align and things begin to show up just because of who you are and whose you are, because you are the living expression of Jesus Christ in as you. You are Jesus in your name suit, right? Wherever you go, creation is saying, wow, there's a son of God. There's Jesus in Shalisa's skin. Wow, we recognize her. We are here to serve the vision that God is manifesting through her. And so things begin to align. Supernaturally, things begin to align. And yes, the wealth, yes, the things begin to flow because they're necessary for the assignment. They're necessary for what you are here to accomplish through your union with Jesus, through the unique expression that of God as you. And this is what it says. He desires this, you guys. It says the last part in Romans 12:1, he desires to find visible, manifested, individual expression in your person. God's desire is to manifest heaven through you, to manifest the kingdom of God through you, to govern wealth, to govern creation, to manifest the new creation, to make all things new through you as a living expression of Jesus Christ. You uniquely designed to live in this hour, to uniquely designed to be born in this time so that Jesus Christ is glorified through you. So, beloved, I'm out of time, but I think we landed the plane. So there's a lot in this, so you might need to listen to it more than once. But remember, this is all about the present moment. This is about you being an expression, a living sacrifice, abiding in Jesus, connected to your source, connected to the unique holy operation that is coming out of Father, and you're the son of God in this example, but you are coming out of intimacy with Father and child, with you in Abba, with you in Jesus, with you in Holy Spirit, and you're committed to his agenda. You're committed to seeing his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and you have laid down your life. You have laid down your calendar. You have laid down anything and everything that you could lay hold to and say, no, my life is not my own. No, I belong to Jesus. Jesus, you use me. You express yourself through me. And I trust you. You are my source. You are my peace. You are my stability. You are my net worth. You are everything that I am. And you define who I am. And you alone are my source. So God bless you guys. I pray that you've gotten a lot out of the series, and we will be back next week with the word for May, which I'm really already getting excited for. It's brewing in me right now, but we will definitely be sharing that next week. And guys, Elevate for May is also going to be on fire. So we're kicking that off on May 1st with some live training and new content. So if you are not an Elevate, I encourage you to get in. The move of God in this tribe is powerful right now. There is a true process of embodying Jesus, embodying Yahweh, coming into the place where God is free to express himself as you. There is so much that's happening in the spirit and through that connection. And so if you're not a part of Elevate, I pray that you would consider that, and you can always join over at shalice.com. So we'll see you next week. Until next time, I love you, and abide. That'll be my last word. Abide. Abide in him. All right. Bye-bye. See you later.
Thanks for listening to Shalice's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalice.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalice's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose he created you for, then visit us at shalice.com and watch Shalice's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.